outdoors, coming on the airwaves, coming your way.
Hey now, we're outside indoors, beat on a book on a snowy day.
Hey now, we're inside outdoors, baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills, forests, and lakes of southern Indiana. Produced in Bloomington and brought to you every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. right here on your local community radio station, WFHB. Inside Outdoors features hosts Don Jordan, Buddy Bill Moser, and Rich Reardon, and gives you everything you need to know about the outdoors surrounding our local community, our state, and around our nation. With fishing, hunting, local and national outdoor news, the environment, natural resources, safety, issues in our community, and just down-home family fun. Our goal is to inspire how to be a good steward of our precious natural resources. This is WFHB Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at wfhb.org.
It ain't a bunch of beans like they serve in the Navy. It's bacon and eggs,
biscuits and gravy.
Biscuits and gravy, bacon and eggs. Whole pot of coffee down to the dregs. When I get out of bed, my belly big. For biscuits and gravy, bacon and eggs. That's biscuits and gravy, bacon and eggs.
Good morning, everybody. This is Inside Outdoors. I'm Don Jordan. I'm right here in Bloomington, Indiana with my buddies Rich Reardon and D. Allen Brownenberg. Say hello, fellas.
Hey, guys.
Hello, hello.
So, we got a cold week. People are talking about ice conditions.
Yeah.
So, I guess you have to say this is getting pretty deep in the winter right now.
Well, I tell you what, the current conditions are that we are at a little under 42 degrees, so that doesn't sound too good for ice to me, and 538 is the level.
Okay. Well, those lows are what? What's it going to be in the morning?
Oh... Let me see. I got to look that up. Keep talking while I'm going here.
Did you say it was 21?
No, I said the lake temperature is 42, a little under 42.
Right. Oh, okay.
So
yeah.
I said it.
Yes, well,
can't be too much ice there.
No, I got 23 right now. It's supposed to be 5 degrees with wind chill in the morning.
Well. There's no serious ice on Lake Monroe at all, I wouldn't think.
Oh, no.
None.
No, there's none.
But some guy from up north said there's 5 and 6 inches of ice up there in northern Indiana. At Salamone, which is another big reservoir, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And that's up by south of Fort Wayne.
Yeah.
So cold enough up there.
Yep.
Not cold enough down here.
I don't know if any farm ponds may have some ice, but I still would be wary about getting on any of it.
Oh, I would too, especially with it, you know, thawing in the evenings. Like if it's going to be 42,
right?
Very often, you need those all night long freezing temperatures, all day long freezing temperatures.
Yep.
Ice starts making those popping cracks of boom.
Yeah, it's supposed to be back up into the mid-40s, almost 50 by Monday, I think. So we're heading back up, which is not bad.
What about the snow quotient?
Yeah, we're 13 inches below now.
Well. It's not good to be that down on precipitation, but nobody's crying about not having snow, I suppose.
No.
Yeah.
No. The only thing about a snowpack is the water seeps down into the soil a little slower and a little better. Then if it rains, it just usually runs off the hills down here. The snow gets into the ground a little bit better, but you know, we'll see where that goes.
Well, Billy says, no snow, no mushrooms.
Yeah.
I don't know.
How was it last year, Don?
The case or not. Last year, well, we didn't have a lot of snow. We had some snow, and the shrooming was fairly good.
Right.
At least everybody I knew that hunted them found them. Of course, that doesn't include me.
Yeah, we had one small little batch. That was it. Last year might have been the worst year for mushrooms we had here on the property in quite a while.
Oh, really? You got some, huh?
Yeah, but not many. I mean, just one skilletful was it.
Just what part of your property is that?
Just right up close to the house. When we built the house, the old fellow that used to live close by said, yeah, you got all kinds of mushrooms up there. Or you used to have all kinds of mushrooms up there by the lake. And I said, really, where? And he goes, right where you put the house.
Oh, no.
I'm going, no.
Yeah.
Oops. Yeah.
So, Alan, let's hear what you found out about the deer hunter success ratio.
I did. You know, it's a number that we've talked about many times, and it's a hard number to come by. This was buried in a 125-page report on the deer summary for Indiana for the year. And what it says is that 61,000 hunters, or 70% of the people with licenses, got one deer in 2020. And 19,000 got, or 21% got two deer. 5,000 got three deer. That's 6% of the total. And it drops off pretty quick down. People who got four deer, 1.4%, that was only 1,100 hunters out of the total. So I thought it was pretty interesting. 70% of the people who bought licenses got at least one deer.
Let me ask you something. Now, do those people carry over to the people that got two deer? Do they count them as the person that got one deer also?
Don't know. This data has virtually no supporting numbers or explanations for any of it.
Okay.
So.
Well, we had the new deer biologist on. When was that? Last year.
Yeah.
This summer. And he shied away from saying anything about that hunter success ratio. He's the guy that wrote that report.
Yeah, he absolutely is the guy who writes that report.
Might have to get in touch with him and see.
We should do that. I'd like to flesh that out a little bit. I'm just guessing that the number of people that got three deer are probably separate from the people who got one.
You'd hope that's the way it was, because it would be misleading otherwise.
It really would. And mm-hmm. But to go down to, you know, what was it, 5,000 people at three deer from 61,000. First of all, the 5,000 wouldn't affect the top number in a statistically significant way, I don't believe. Two deer it would, to go from 60.
Yeah. You know, there was, to have more than two deer is really kind of surprising, actually, and even two this past year, because there was no antlerless permits.
Right.
And so these guys must have gotten these deer in reserved hunts someplace, or things like the Lake Griffey hunt. I suppose those would be counted.
I'm sure that's true. And the problem well, just doing the math yourself, is that you don't know who bought multiple licenses. When you look at the license purchase numbers for the DNR for the year, you know, there's multiple, there's six or eight different deer licenses to buy. That's not even including the other ones on the city permits, things like that. So you don't know who bought. If there's seven permits, somebody might have bought all seven permits. So it's very, very difficult to sort that out yourself.
Well, it sounds like no matter what, how it works out, the totals were pretty decent, pretty decent success rate, if the statistics can be relied upon.
Yeah,
and
I thought so too.
Not quite as many in the total. Not as many in the total as last year, but close. At least that's the last time I looked at it.
Yeah.
So I guess everybody's seemed to be relatively happy. I know a couple of guys that hunt a friend of mine's place went out the first weekend, got their deer. You know, bang bang.
Yeah. And yeah, done.
That's really the best time to go, I guess. Anyway, pretty interesting stuff. You know.
Yeah, there is a graph on there that shows when the deer were harvested. And there was, I think it was November the 14th.
That was opening.
Yeah, that, I mean, it just went through the roof. I mean, it's like, you know, went to the top of the page and everything else is just little bumps down at the bottom.
Yeah, that's the opening of gun season this past year. Usually it's the second week in November. Well, there's still deer around. I see them around out on the north side all the time. And there are probably plenty of them in town still.
Yeah, I'm sure there are.
Since none of us live actually inside in the city, it's hard to say. Since we're not around there so much anymore, but I'm sure they are. I'm not too far out of the town, and we've got them.
Well, they're all over down here. And you know, since they've opened 37 back up to Indianapolis, there are dead deer all along the road now.
Oh, great!
The cars hitting them. Yeah, now that they're going 75, 80 mile an hour.
Yeah, there didn't seem to be much control of the speed limits there. The speed's coming through the town there, does there?
Well, it's actually 65 miles an hour around Martinsville, which I, you know, that's 10 miles an hour faster than it is in Bloomington for some reason or another. But yeah, the areas where you can go 70, you know, which usually means everybody's going 80, they're dead deer carcasses all over the place.
Well, that's unfortunate. There are also some smash squirrels. And, of course, poor squirrels. I told you guys before the show started, I have to take responsibility for missing National Squirrel Appreciation Day, which was the 21st of January. And, they deserve. They have their own. You know, we all see them all the time. They're cute. We love them. They enrage us when they get in our house. But just about everybody likes a squirrel, don't you think?
Yeah, Squirrel Appreciation Day is every day for me.
Well, there you go, Rich.
Boy. Well, I like those little guys.
I might be the lone dissenting voice since, you know, my. Sunflower seed purchases go through the roof because the squirrels pilfering the
food. It's good that you keep the population fed.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, I have to give you a congratulations. Kudos for that.
Yeah, they're fat as hogs around here, Don.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. Because it turns out that, you know, the squirrel populations, according to, this is actually from the Squirrel Appreciation Day creator, named Christy Hargrove, a rehabilitator in North Carolina. So she says you could do anything from putting out extra food for the squirrels to learning something new about the squirrels. So that's what you have to do for squirrel appreciation. And you've got it half whipped already. You're feeding them. So
yeah, I've done my part.
Yes, right. We appreciate that. And anybody know how old a squirrel can be? How old squirrels get? Got a guess?
I do not. I'd say maybe 5 years.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. The in the wild, they could live 4 to 5 years. They average living 4 to 5 years. But there was one who lived to be 26 years old in a zoo.
Wow.
Wow. So,
26-year-old squirrel. I bet he's a smart old bird, or she. They didn't know what sex it was, actually. So.
It was probably as gray as me or you by then.
Yeah, they're gray squirrels. Okay, that gives a new meaning to gray squirrels, doesn't it? There are over 200 species of squirrels in this world. 200.
Wow.
Some of the oldest ones categorized in the taxonomic tables were one called a nocturnal arrow flying squirrel, which was listed in 1766, and the black giant squirrel, which was listed in 1778.
Wow.
So I thought that was kind of interesting. They have an early taxonomic history. And they all fall into three types, no matter, since there's 200 of them. Anybody know? Well, you know what they are. Ground squirrels, that would be chipmunks. 13-lined ground squirrel you see out west, California ground squirrel. So those are all ground squirrels, which predators feast upon them.
Sure.
Regularly. Tree squirrels are the other class, and of course they live in trees. And around here we have two. We have the gray squirrel and we have the fox squirrel, right? And the third type is, we also have these in southern Indiana, is the flying squirrels, which are actually gliding squirrels. They don't actually fly.
Right.
They climb up.
We have some of those around?
Oh, yeah. They're definitely. I used to have them when I lived out in Whitehall.
I'll be darned.
Yes, they're definitely around. You're not going to see them unless you're out there at night.
Okay.
You know.
So a trail cam might get one.
Yeah, but you got to have food out for them.
Oh.
Yeah.
And it's really nice. They really like peanuts. Hmm. If you put some peanuts out for them, you will see squirrels. If you have trees in your around your house.
I'll be darned.
They're around. The cats are devastating to them, however.
Yeah.
Sure.
So you got to question whether you want to bait them in or not.
Right.
So anyway, they get up, they climb up these trees as far as they can go, and then they just leap towards where they want to go and spread their arms and legs out, just like those guys in the squirrel suit that you see on on TV, on the internet.
The crazy brave.
They're just incredibly good at it. And okay.
Well, I had no idea that we had some close by. That's I will.
Definitely.
I will make an effort to go find some.
I'd say that you'd have them around your house, and you know, probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Well, it's squirrel heaven around here, I can tell you that. They're thick here.
No, well, yes, they are the way they are in your neighborhood, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If your neighborhood has a failure of hickory nuts or some of their other favorite foods, then you might not have as many squirrels one year.
Yeah.
Of course, they like nesting, especially in the winter, in hollow places in trees, those leaf nests that they build up in the trees, because they don't have any hollow out places in their trees.
Yeah.
Don't do very good. So they little guys could freeze to death up there. So if you have trees with holes in them and they're not threatening your house, think about it before you cut it down.
Oh yeah, I don't cut down any trees that got holes in them. It's sometimes there's fowls in them, sometimes squirrels.
Right, that's right.
Yeah,
squirrels. Lots of different songbirds.
Yeah,
nest in holes, and so. Here's a little one you might. Do you know what a rally squirrel is?
A rally squirrel.
Do you baseball fans out there? Okay, Rich, you know?
No, I can't. No? Can't think of that.
Okay.
Not sure I even heard of one.
All right. A rally squirrel. That's R-A-L-L-Y, squirrel.
Hmm.
During Major League Baseball's postseason play, an American gray squirrel interrupted several games in which the St. Louis Cardinals played, beginning with the National League Division Series between St. Louis and the Philadelphia Phillies at Busch Stadium in St. Louis. A squirrel interrupted play during two games in the series. The Cardinals went on to win the series, causing the fans and players to adopt the furry creature as a deputy mascot and calling him Rally Squirrel.
He made
a third appearance during Game 3 of the National League Championship Series. The Cardinals went on to win the World Series against the Texas Rangers. So, there you go. Rally
That's
Squirrel.
Cool.
I thought you were going to say at the Indianapolis 500, but probably it's a little little safer to do at a baseball game.
Yeah, you can swatch at the Indy 500.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want a dead Rally Squirrel. So, anyway, gee, it's a Squirrel Appreciation Day, and I sure appreciate them. And feed the little creatures if you can stand it. And I know a lot of people buy those little squirrel platforms, little table-like things.
Yeah.
Put a corn cob on. You've seen those? Those are quite cute, and squirrels seem to like those. And they do like corn on the cob.
They do.
Definitely visit that, and it's a good. You can get corn on the cob at Tractor Supplies, probably, or one of those. Somebody out there selling corn on the cob.
Oh yeah, they've got squirrel corn at Rural King. You can get whole corn there.
Rural King. There you go, squirrel
yep.
corn.
Yep.
Well, let's hear it for the squirrel, and of course, you know the fox squirrels. They were almost no fox squirrels in Indiana in prehistoric, well, before Europeans came. All of those fox squirrels were up and along the borderline between the swamp and the woods, which ran across old kind of a diagonal from, you know, below Fort Wayne across the state.
Yeah.
And so they were very limited area. The rest of the state was covered with gray squirrels. But when they cleared all the land and, you know, the trees were gone, the gray squirrels, one writer said, nearly disappeared in Indiana.
Huh.
And the fox squirrels spread into those suburban areas and places where the trees used to be. And they fox squirrels spend a lot more time on the ground than the other three or the other two tree squirrel, which the gray squirrel spends almost all its time in the trees.
And of course. Wow. I'm guessing the fox squirrel it has its name because it tends to be kind of a reddish brown color.
Right, and it's big.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
the red squirrel, the actual red squirrel, is a little bitty guy, you know, not much bigger than a chipmunk.
Right.
And lives up north and out west, but not down here. I've never seen one down here anyway.
And
I think a lot of people forget just exactly how much timber was taken off the land here in Indiana. I mean, Indiana literally was nearly stripped of timber at one time. I mean, they used it for everything. I mean, they'd burn it down. They'd take it, make charcoal out of, they'd build fences with it. Just extraordinary use of wood that literally just, you know, stripped Indiana clean at one point.
Yeah, they're still paying for the results of that over in Brown County.
Yeah.
With the heavy erosion.
Yep.
And other places, but Brown County comes to mind because it's close to home, you know. Well, yeah, and we changed the habitat and changed the balance of nature right there.
Yeah, we sure did.
And that, yeah, you know, you've heard the, I don't know who is supposed to have said it, Thomas Jefferson or somebody like that, that a squirrel could have gone from Virginia to the Mississippi River without touching the ground.
Exactly so.
I don't know if that's true or not. You know, they might have had to swim some rivers, and yeah, we know that they do swim rivers. They often swim rivers, and they're known for swimming big rivers and in large yeah numbers. That's happened back east quite a bit. I don't know if it's ever been observed here, but
well, the amount of timber that used to be here is just extraordinary. I mean, that's essentially all of Indiana was nothing but a big woods. And, you know, at some point, the entire northern part of the state was stripped bare.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the southern part, most of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was widespread. And, you know, that was at the same time when they were clear cutting the Smoky Mountains. And
yeah,
some people stepped forward and saved the Smoky Mountain Nation, made the Smoky Mountain National Park. And the children in the schools down there donated money to help establish that park. And that's the reason why, to this day, it's free. It's the only free national park.
You
don't have to pay a cent to go into Smoky Mountain National Park. So
that's cool. Well, everything's going up. You saw the hunting licenses went up on price. So.
Yes. Guys have been complaining about that, but, you know, I think it's still a pretty good bargain, especially if you're really into it. If you like to hunt and fish, you know, you're going to have to pay. If you're out of state, out in Montana, you pay $100 for your fishing license.
Is that right? Wow.
Yeah, nothing like that here.
Man.
Yeah. So, I'm not grousing about. Of course, since you're, you know, senior citizen gets a free fishing license. So.
In Montana?
No, in Indiana.
In here, yeah, I thought so, yeah.
Yeah, so I've had mine for some time now.
Oh, man, I need to go. I need to do that. I, you know.
Yeah, that's
it's so exciting getting anything free anymore that I, you know, I'll do it whether I want it or not just because it's free.
Well, your free state fishing license, and most states are free for senior citizens, and your national senior recreation pass, which used to be free, but now costs $80, but still it was free when I bought it. So,
when I got mine, it was $10, I think.
That's what they did, $10 at first, yep, and then $80 during the last administration's tenure.
Yeah.
Park pass went up to $80. So it's still worth it. It's still a great deal because you get into every lots of federal places free.
Oh, it's a great, great deal.
And tremendous discounts on camping in federal campgrounds. And, yeah. Which includes some of the best campgrounds in the country, which I would say are the Corps of Engineers campgrounds, are probably the best ones any place in America.
So true. They are.
Well, hey guys, that's about it.
Try to get into one during the winter.
It went fast today.
That went quick.
But we're out of here in just about 10 seconds.
That
so thanks, guys, for being here.
Okay.
Unfortunately, there's not as much to talk about in the winter, but we try to keep you up on some things, so we'll talk to you next week.
See you guys.
All right.
Squirrels and all.
Bye. Well, that's all we have time for today. Thanks for listening. Inside Outdoors is brought to you every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. right here on WFHB with hosts Don Jordan, Rich Reardon, Buddy Bill Moser, and D. Allen Brodenberg. And by the way, if you missed the show, you can listen online at InsideOutdoorsRadio.com or right here on WFHB's website under Public Affairs. We hope to see you next week.
right here on Inside Outdoors.